Businesses of all sizes choose Avalara to automate their sales tax compliance. Avalara's technology simplifies the process with real-time tax calculations and automatic return filing. Find out how Avalara can help your business at avalara.com/WSJ.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, October 20th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Healthcare has been a hot-button issue during this election season. If you don't have health insurance through your employer, doctor's visits and prescriptions can be a huge expense and cut into savings goals. Some people are making life-changing decisions to make ends meet.
It wasn't necessarily super romantic. You know, I told him I loved him and I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him, and you should be on my insurance. Like, this would just make more sense.
Our reporter Francesca Fontana will tell her story after the break.
Upwork is the world's largest remote talent platform. Devs, designers, writers, strategists, you name it. Find, hire, and pay all in one place. Whatever skills your scope demands, Upwork is how. Need to find coders outside your area code? An SEO specialist for 6 weeks? Or a UI designer through December? Pros available short or long term, one time or as often as you need them, and they're proven, rated, and reviewed. When you need in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how.
They say you should marry for love, but should you marry for health insurance? For many Americans, healthcare takes a huge bite out of their finances, and young people especially are finding creative ways to reduce that cost, including our own WSJ reporter Francesca Fontana. Francesca, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So how big of a burden is health insurance on adults these days?
You know, it's become an increasingly disproportionate burden. And it was interesting. I spoke to folks at the nonprofit Kaiser Family Foundation. And, you know, they've found that health spending by families with large employer health plans has, on average, increased 2 times faster than workers' wages over the past decade. So, you know, we've seen the growth of healthcare costs has outpaced wage growth and the growth of prices in the general economy. And, you know, a big part of that has been that so many costs have been pushed onto employees in the form of deductibles, which, you know, if you're living on paycheck to paycheck, can be a huge amount to cover in the event of an emergency and can make healthcare increasingly unaffordable. And there was also a Federal Reserve survey that found that in 2019, about 18% of adults had unpaid debt from their own medical care or medical care that, you know, a family member had. And about 25% of adults skipped medical care because they were unable to afford the cost. So clearly, you know, and I know this from my own experience, but clearly this is a big, you know, financial burden for so many Americans.
So health insurance actually played a pretty big role in your personal life. What was the health coverage arrangement between you and your husband before you got married?
So I get my health insurance through the Journal, and he had an interesting arrangement. So he has worked for an esteemed artist in Manhattan for, gosh, I think over a decade. And, you know, it's been a great job for him. He's an artist and a sculptor as well. But it never included benefits like health insurance. So he has always paid for that out of pocket and through the marketplace. The cost has varied year to year. So my healthcare costs, once I started working full time as a journalist, were very standard and I could expect them. And his were a little less predictable. And because he has an autoimmune disease, you know, and chronic health conditions, they, you know, we found that his costs became pretty exorbitant in, you know, the first few years we were dating. The lion's share of his income was going towards all of these health expenses, from his monthly premium to the weekly specialist visits and all those things. And it really added up. And I was fortunate enough to have insurance where I, you know, the costs were manageable, and for him it wasn't. And that was a pretty stark difference between our situations.
And that actually propelled you to propose to him. Take us through how that day went.
So it wasn't your typical proposal. You know, we were just having, you know, a weekend morning where he was going through all of his bills and invoices from all of his different doctors and specialists. And, he was crunching the numbers to see what his, you know, then what the next year would hold in terms of how much his healthcare was going to cost. He was trying to plan out his budget. And, you know, he'd figured out that in 2020, this was in 2019, that in 2020, he'd be spending more than $1,000 a month on healthcare. And it was, you know, it was really distressing. And that's sort of when I proposed to him, really. You know, I had been listening to him doing all the crunching all these numbers. And so I walked in and it wasn't necessarily super romantic. You know, I told him I loved him and I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. And you should be on my insurance. Like, this would just make more sense. So that's kind of how it happened. And he took a couple days to think about it. He thanked me for my offer. And then he sort of proposed back a few days later. So we sort of proposed to each other, but I was the one who did it first, for the record.
It sounds like one of those negotiations on Shark Tank.
Yes. It was like, all right, well, let's think about this. How is this going to work? And, you know, it was something that we had talked informally about marriage, as a lot of couples do, you know, after you've been dating for several years. But I think definitely this pushed up that conversation, just because there was that element of, I guess the best way to put it would be, you know, we are already partners in so many ways. We live together. We share expenses outside of health insurance. And this just seemed like one more way that I could, you know, help my partner. It was very sort of simple. And, you know, neither of us were very into the traditional wedding scene. So we were actually, you know, totally okay with going to a courthouse and not having a big ceremony. And that was also, you know, a financial benefit too, because those things are very expensive.
Now, you've had your own experience with feeling the pressure of health-related costs. How did that impact your thinking about the situation Ryan was in?
I think that, you know, the experience I had wasn't unique. I know other people who've gone through a similar thing, but I was very young when it happened to me, so it was a little daunting. You know, I had just graduated from the University of Oregon and moved to New York City, and I didn't have health insurance. And, you know, I had graduated from college without any student debt, so I was euphoric. You know, I paid for college myself as a first-generation college student with grants and scholarships and a lot of part-time, full-time jobs. And that was the biggest hurdle in my mind, was, you know, getting out of school without student loan debt. And I thought that it was going to be smooth sailing from there forward. And then, you know, I got sick and I had to go to the emergency room, and I didn't have insurance at the time. And then I was back in debt within hours. You know, I left the hospital, and I had insisted on taking an Uber there, actually, because I knew an ambulance would be too expensive. And then I was crushed, because I felt like, you know, the path was clear ahead of me to start my financial life and start moving forward. And I felt like it was two steps forward and then four steps back. And then I had to put the medical debt on, you know, a credit card that sat around until I'd gotten, you know, another full-time job. I was unemployed at the time. And it was, you know, really scary and really daunting. And I know, you know, from speaking with friends and family and, you know, strangers, other sources, that it's something that a lot of people go through. And it's, you know, it's something that I wasn't prepared for.
What do you see as the mistakes made or the lessons people have learned, especially young couples that are bringing their finances, you know, under one checkbook?
Well, I think one thing that folks I've spoken to have done right was really taking the sort of standard experience out of their decision-making process. And so one couple I spoke to, they got married, they eloped, to the surprise of their family, because one half of the couple had a lot of, you know, medical issues and horrible insurance, and they realized that, you know, even though it wasn't the traditional move, that marriage could solve a lot of their problems, because she could get onto his insurance, which was much better. And they found that, you know, even though there were people who might have asked, you know, why are you doing this? Why not wait so you can have a big wedding? And asking all of the questions, they found that this decision, even though it may not be as romantic, I guess, in appearance, you know, it really was what was right for them. And it was the right choice, because marriage is all, and in relationships, it's all about, you know, working as a team to better the life of your partner. And you know, to navigate the turmoil you find yourself in together. And I think that by not waiting and feeling like they could just make the jump, it really helped them. And they just celebrated, I believe, 9 years together, and they have 2 children. And so they said, you know, we didn't just get married for the health insurance, but, you know, it really was just them doing the math and realizing that it didn't make sense to wait around if they could have this tangible benefit right away. And I think that's something that maybe is making marriage more enticing for young couples who might be struggling financially. But I think the biggest thing is determining, you know, what works for you despite any sort of maybe societal pressures or you know, tradition or things like that.
Okay, so back to you and Ryan. How are things going now?
Oh, things are wonderful, I guess, relatively speaking, given the pandemic. But we got married on Christmas Eve in 2019, and, you know, we went to the courthouse, and it was really wonderful. And since then, we're enjoying married life, and, you know, we can't complain because his healthcare costs have gone down, you know, some 80%. So we're really grateful and fortunate because not only has this eliminated a big financial pressure for Ryan, that the healthcare costs that he was struggling to afford, you know, we can also look to the future. We've been talking about possibly looking at plans for grad school, you know, in the future. And he's been able to put more towards savings. And there's a lot more that we can do in terms of planning for our joint future together now that this one financial burden has been alleviated. And so it's been, you know, very exciting, aside from the fact that, you know, we very much enjoy being married, that, you know, this has really changed our financial lives as well.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Francesca Fontana. Francesca, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.